ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते
सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततोजय
मुदीरये
नास्तपयशो
भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। I'll just read it and we'll do what you want. Yadapi Dekhiva Jaino Yajvino Ye Vaidaja Shaya Kintu Param Hrude Sar Sairanasyam. That's not a good time. Eva Mam Mamiyam Iti Krita Vairam Vandayam Visharjya Svayam Upasaram Suharifaya. What do you mean? Yatapi?
Yatapi.
Although. Dekhiva Jaina.
Dekhiva Jaina.
Who are victorious in all directions.
Who are victorious in all directions.
Yajvinaha.
Yajvinaha.
Expert in performing great sacrifices.
Expert in performing great sacrifices.
Ye.
Ye.
All of whom.
All of whom.
Why?
Why?
Indeed.
Indeed.
Rajarishaya.
Rajarishaya.
Very great saintly kings.
Very great saintly kings.
Kintu.
Kintu.
But.
But.
Param.
Param.
Only this earth.
Only this earth.
Vrithe.
Vrithe.
In battle.
In battle.
Sairam.
Sairam.
Laying down.
Laying down.
Asyam.
Asyam.
On this earth.
On this earth.
Eva.
Eva.
Indi.
Indi.
Mama.
Mama.
Mine.
Mine.
Iyam.
Iyam.
This.
This.
Iti.
Iti.
Considering in that way.
Considering in that way.
Krita. On which is created.
On which is created.
Vairam Bandhayam.
Vairam Bandhayam.
The relationship of enmity with others.
A relationship of enmity with others.
Visarjya.
Visarjya.
Giving up.
Giving up.
Swayam.
Swayam.
His own life.
His own life.
Upasamhavritta.
Upasamhavritta.
Being killed.
Being killed.
Translation of the Prabhupada. This is the Swami Shri Prabhupada Prabhupada ki. There are many great saintly kings who are very expert in performing sacrificial rituals and very competent in conquering other kingdoms. Yet despite their power, they could not attain the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is because those great kings could not even conquer the false consciousness of I am this body and this is my property. Thus they simply created enmity with tribal kings, fought with them and died without having discharged life's real mission. There are many great saintly kings.
There are many great saintly kings
who were very expert.
Who were very expert
in performing sacrificial rituals.
In performing sacrificial rituals.
And very competent.
Very competent
in conquering other kingdoms.
In conquering other kingdoms.
Yet despite their power.
Yet despite their power.
They couldn't attain the loving service of the devotional service of Godhead.
They could not attain the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
This is because those great kings
could not even conquer
the false consciousness of I am this body.
The false consciousness of I am this body.
And this is my property.
And this is my property.
Thus they simply created enmity.
Thus they simply created enmity
with tribal kings.
Tribal kings.
Fought with them.
Fought with them.
And died.
And died
without having discharged life's real mission.
Without having discharged life's real mission.
The real mission of life for the conditioned soul is to re-establish the forgotten relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sambandha, and engage in devotional service so that he may revive Krishna consciousness after giving up the body. One doesn't have to give up his occupation as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra or whatever. In any position, while discharging his prescribed duty, one can develop Krishna consciousness simply by associating with devotees who are representative of Krishna, who can teach this science. Regretfully, the big politicians and leaders in the material world simply create enmity and are not interested in spiritual advancement. Material advancement may be very pleasing to an ordinary man, but ultimately he is defeated because he identifies himself with the material body and considers everything related to it to be his property. This is ignorance. Actually, nothing belongs to him, not even the body. By one's karma, one gets a particular body, and if he does not utilize his body to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all his activities are frustrated. The real purpose of life is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13. Atha pumbhin tujya shreshtha varnashrama vivagasham sanushtita sanushtita shya dharmashya samsitya hari toshanam. It really doesn't matter what activity a man engages in. If he can simply satisfy the Supreme Lord, his life is successful.
Hey Krishna, Karuna, Sindhu, Dhinu, Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesham, Gopika, Santarada, Tantam, Mastute, Tapta, Kanchana, Gaurangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshwar, Rishabhanam, Sutete, Pranamami, Hari, Hide, Vanchate, Patro, Vrusha, Kripam, Sindhu, Vrusha, Patitanam, Pavane, Deva, Vrishnaya, Deva, Namo, Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gora Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Interesting verse, and especially Srila Prabhupada mentions this particular line, which is very relevant in today's day and age. Regretfully, the big politicians and leaders in the material world simply create enmity and not interested in spiritual advancement. So we see today so many wars going on, so many issues going on all over the world, and this is because everyone is just interested. The politicians and the leaders are just interested in selfish motives, I and mine, and they're not interested in the welfare of the people. So we are in this chapter, we are hearing what Jarabharata spoke to Maharaj Rahugana. In the last chapter we heard Jarabharata giving instructions to Maharaj Rahugana, and in the first verse itself, Parikshit Maharaj, or in the last verse of last chapter, Parikshit Maharaj asked, tell me about this merchant entering the forest, which Jarabharata had mentioned, allegorical story which Jarabharata had mentioned to Maharaj Rahugana. Parikshit Maharaj is saying, asking Sukadeva Goswami to explain the direct meaning of this allegory. And this is one of the important aspects of devotional life. One should inquire, and one should inquire to a bona fide guru. So this is one of the very bona fide aspect, relevant aspect of devotional service. As Parikshit Maharaj is inquiring from Sukadeva Goswami to explain the direct meaning of this allegory. So we'll quickly go through what has been going on in this chapter. We are approaching the end of this chapter. So in the last chapter, Jarabharata explained this merchant entering the forest, and when he enters the forest, what does he do? He wants to get some goods, come back and sell them and make money, and then go back again and get some more goods. So Sukadeva Goswami is saying that this merchant is none other than the conditioned soul yourself. So this is a story about yourself, and you are conditioned by Maya and suffering the results of your attachment in this material world by going into different bodies. So this merchant is none other than you. And then Jagannatha had mentioned about the six plunderers who plunder this merchant, who misguide this merchant. So Sukadeva Goswami is saying that this six plunderers are none other than your six senses, the five senses and the mind. And then Jagannatha had mentioned about the jackals who plunder the inattentive merchant. So in the forest there are many jackals, and they bite the merchant. And Sukadeva Goswami is saying this plunderers are none other than your family members who bite. As devotees we can understand the family life or the grihastha life is not like this, because in the next verse Jagannatha is saying that in the forest then he is caught up into the dense boars or the rickets and bushes, grasses and all those things. So the merchant gets scratched by this dense forest grasses. And Sukadeva Goswami said it's a grihastha ashram in the material world which binds one, which makes a person attached and keeps him into the material world. So as devotees we can understand that the grihastha ashram of a devotee is different to the grihastha ashram of a materialist. Because for a materialist, the family members are like jackals who bite them. The grihastha life is like a grasses and rickets, where these dense boars which misguide or mislead the person. But for devotees, the whole family is engaged in devotional service, and in that way each other encourage each family member encourages other person to advance in spiritual life. So this is different to the materialist and the devotees. And then Jagannatha had mentioned about the mosquitoes who keep biting in the forest. So when you go into the forest there are many mosquitoes, and Sukadeva Goswami is mentioning that these are the thieves and low class men who keep troubling this living entity into this material world. And then sometimes he is making imaginary planes. The materialist is desiring of different things, like Gandharva. It is mentioned Gandharva Pura. And this is mind's false vision. The living entity in the material world thinks that if I do this, I'll get this. If I do this, I'll get something else. He builds a castle in the sky and acts on this and becomes attached to it. Then another thing that was mentioned was about glowing ghost. Sometimes this merchant sees the glowing ghost. And Sukadeva Goswami mentions that this glowing ghost is nothing but gold in this material world, or wealth in this material world. So one becomes attracted to this wealth in the material world and becomes bound or becomes attached to it. So he enters into the mode of passion. When one acquires wealth, one becomes more and more passionate. And then it was mentioned that sometimes his eyes are covered with the whirlwind, dust of the whirlwind. So Sukadeva Goswami mentioned that this whirlwind is nothing but the beautiful forms in this material world, where a living entity becomes attracted to these beautiful forms and becomes attached, the lust and enters his heart. And then he sees water in the mirage. And Sukadeva Goswami explains that this water in the mirage is nothing but material enjoyment. So there is no water in the mirage, it's water in the desert, it's just a mirage. Similarly, there is no material enjoyment in this material world. Everyone is just suffering actually. And then he's sometimes hearing the sounds of owls and invisible crickets. And Sukadeva Goswami mentioned that these are none other than his enemies and dormant servants who impose all the taxes on him. And then sometimes he takes shelter of impious trees who bear no fruits or flowers. So Sukadeva Goswami is explaining that this impious trees are none other than wealthy men or influential. So these impious trees are none other than wealthy men or powerful people within this material world where one takes shelter. And then he jumps into the shallow water. So this shallow water is none other than false gurus and cheating gurus, pseudo gurus and atheists. So we see sometimes, many times, most of the people are bewildered by the sweet talks of pseudo gurus, and they become bewildered in this material world. They spend thousands and thousands of dollars just to please the guru, but the guru has no tattva. They don't even understand the basic concepts of life. So it's like cheated and cheaters. And then they beg food from others. And so there was some saying, it's like one is dependent, the son is dependent on the father, and the father is dependent on the son. And then he suffering from the burning heat of the forest fire. And that Sukadeva Goswami is comparing it to the family life. Even though one is working hard, he is always suffering the family life. He cannot satisfy his family. And then his wealth has been plundered by yakshas. So Sukadeva Goswami is saying it's the government officials who impose all these taxes, and most of his hard-earned money has been taken away in one way or the other by the government officials. So sometimes he imagines a palatial city. So it's like the only time he can enjoy is in the dreams. So he's imagining all these palatial cities in his dreams. So that is the only time this person enjoys and feels happy. And sometimes he's climbing the mountains, but his feet become pierced with thorns. And this is again, he's saying that he performs a lot of yajna, sacrifices, austerities, and those are like thorns to this person, they're troublesome, but still he executes them. And then overwhelmed by anger, he becomes angry at his family members. So similarly, in the material world, everyone who is working hard, in the grahastha ashram, they're working hard, and they become frustrated with this hard work, and then they become angry, so they fall down into more of ignorance. So merchant is swallowed by the python and loses his consciousness. So the python is compared to the sleep. So Sukadeva Goswami is saying it is like a sleep. So every time one sleeps, he is just wasting his time. And then sometimes poisonous snakes bite him. So that is envious enemies. Sukadeva Goswami is saying they are like envious enemies, like who are always trying to plunder all the wealth and prestige of this person. And then he goes to take honey from the beehive, but the bees attack him. So Sukadeva Goswami is saying this is like attracted by little happiness. He has illicit sex and steals others' properties. But the government or the woman, they take away all the wealth of such a person. And sometimes he finally gets a little honey, but that is also taken away by someone else. And so it is mentioned that another people cheat him and take away all his wealth. So then he becomes, then devoid of wealth, home and bed, he begs, steals and becomes disgraced. So similarly, Sukadeva Goswami is saying that in the material world, person is trying very hard, he becomes frustrated, he becomes angry, and finally what does he do? He tries to acquire his wealth, acquire his dreams by the means of cheating. We saw from the pastime of Ajahn, how he, just to satisfy the family, illicit family, he did all this cheating activities, all illicit activities. So, and then it was mentioned that finally he becomes so frustrated, so tired that he is showing no interest in the spiritual life, and he does not become attached. He becomes attached to his newly born children. So finally he tries to seek happiness, within his children's, within his family life, and he forgets the separation of the Supreme Lord. So he has no interest in his spiritual life. And then today's verse, it is mentioned, leaders and the kings who don't know the real purpose of life, they are just interested in I and mine. Mm-hmm. So similarly, these are the kings who misguide the subjects into different materialistic lives. And it is mentioned in the last couple of verses, Jagannatha explains how, being afraid of the roaring lions in the forest, this merchant makes friends with cranes, crows, and vultures. And so this lions is nothing but the Kala Chakra, the time of the Lord. So when this person sees that his life is passing by and is going through different diseases, now it's coming to the end, what is doing? He takes shelter of cranes, crows, and vultures, who are none other but man-made gods or pseudo-gurus. And so finally, take shelter of something, because he himself is not able to do anything. But then finally, Jagannatha is saying that he jumps like a monkey from tree to one branch to another, and tree without profit but sex. So similarly, we see the material conditioned soul goes through, so there are some expenses, it goes through different bodies, life after life, and doing the same thing again and again. So it is very interesting when we read these analogies, we get so much of realization, especially when I'm couple of times, like this past time has been going for like 3 months or something, and especially Jagannatha's instructions to Maharaj Ravana, for 3 months I think we have been going there on 40, for verse 40 of this chapter, and last chapter also there were instructions even of Jagannatha. So we understand that how all these allegories and all these instructions give us an insight of how we are trapped within this material world. How difficult it is to get out of this material world. And when we hear this, and we are so fortunate to have access to Srimad Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada's purport, that we can understand that it's very difficult for anyone who does not have access to this particular knowledge to know where it stands. It's so difficult for a materialist who does not read Srimad Bhagavatam, who does not have access to Srimad Bhagavatam, to see the mirror, this Bhagavatam and this chapter especially. When I was reading, it was like a mirror in front of me, which is showing what I am doing, where I am going, so, and what should I be doing. So it's very interesting. These allegories especially are very powerful. And even in the last time we heard this allegory of Maharaj Purandara, which was told by Narada Muni. So that was also very similar allegory. So these allegories are very informative, especially when you cannot tell a person directly, like Jagannatha is telling his allegory to the king, he cannot tell you are like a monkey, right? He might get offended, his ego might be hurt, of course. Maharaj Ravana had surrendered, but still, his allegories sometimes cannot be told directly, but in this way, if the allegory is told, then it becomes very informative and one can understand, and especially when you have Sukadeva Goswami explain the meaning of it, it becomes more clear. And when you have Srila Prabhupada explaining in the purport how it can be applied in this today's world, it becomes like this today, it becomes like a mirror in front of you. So, this allegories are very important actually. It is interesting. Was anyone present here in Jagatari Mataji's class last week? Okay. Mataji explained a nice story of this mouse king. And this mouse king had his kingdom on a mountain, and he had some disciples or some followers, his subjects, and they were also all mouse. So this mouse king had a daughter, and when she became young, this mouse king announced to his ministers, all the mice, so he announced to his ministers that my daughter is young now and I want to marry her to the most powerful person in this universe. So you all tell me who is the most powerful person, I'll marry this daughter of mine to the the most powerful person. So all the ministers were thinking, who is the most powerful person? And they are thinking about it. And finally, one of them came forward and said, my honor, your honor, the sun is the most powerful because it lights the entire universe. The sun is the most powerful living entity in this universe. And the king said, yes, you are right. Sun is the most powerful, so I should marry my daughter to the sun. So he said, okay, all the party go and invite son to marry my daughter. But then another person, another minister just came forward and he said, but your honor, this cloud is more powerful than the sun, because when the cloud comes in between, it hides the sun. It can easily cover the sun. So the king said, yes, you are right. Cloud is more powerful. So I should marry my daughter to cloud. And then another person, another minister came, said that, but your honor, this rain can burst through the cloud and just remove the cloud. So rain is more powerful than the cloud. It washes away the clouds. So the king said, yes, rain is the most powerful, so I should marry my daughter to rain. But then he said, however hard it rains, it does not wash away the long big trees. So the big trees are more powerful than the rain. They are not affected by the rain, so they are standing still. So the king said, okay, I'll marry my daughter to the big tree. Find the tallest tree here and I'll marry my daughter to the tree. But then another minister said, but you know, this when the strong wind cyclone comes, it can just throw away the trees. So the cyclone, the wind is more powerful than the tree. And the king said, oh, you are very intelligent. I should marry my daughter to the wind. But then another minister said, but you know, however hard the wind can blow, it cannot affect the earth. Earth is the most powerful. It stands still. Doesn't matter however high the cyclone or winds are. And the king said, yes, the earth is the most powerful. So we should marry my daughter to earth. But then another minister stood up, said that, but you know, this humans who build these wooden floors, and these wooden floors, they nail it down onto the earth. So these wooden floors are more powerful than the earth. It's because these wooden floors are nailed down into the earth. So the king said, yes, okay, I will marry my daughter to the wooden floors. And then one old minister who was very intelligent, he said, but your shaya, this mouse, we are so powerful that we can cut a hole through the wooden floor. And finally this king said, yes, you are the most intelligent, you are the old person and you are the most intelligent. I should marry my daughter to the mouse because they are the most powerful, because they can cut through the wooden floor. And finally the daughter was married to another mouse. So Mataji mentioned, told this small story, and that sealed up thought process in everyone. And then Mataji explained the story and asked everyone for question and answer. Then it was so interesting to see how everyone in this material world, so, and this is very relevant to this section, this chapter actually. When we see this allegory and of a merchant and how it is explained by Sukadeva Swami, we can understand each and every living entity is going through this circle of building this sky, as it was mentioned here, Gandharvapura. Gandharvapura is something which is in the air, where one thinks, okay, if I do this, if I work hard, if I invest here, if I do all these activities, if I satisfy my boss, one day I will become rich and I'll have palaces and I'll retire. So, but that never happens actually. Everyone is going after this Gandharvapura, the dream palace, and so was this mouse. The king mouse had an idea that he can even approach sun to marry his mouse daughter. So how is that possible? So we see this allegorical stories are very nice, and Prabhupada explains in the purport, the real mission of life for the conditioned soul is to re-establish the forgotten relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage in devotional service so that he may revive Krishna consciousness after giving up the body. So this is the real purpose of one's life. It's not to run after the mirage in the desert. The real purpose of life is to engage in the service of the, and revive service of the Lord and revive our lost relationship. And as Devotee explains in 3:23-56, there is a beautiful verse which she is explaining to Kadamuni. Neha yat karma dharmaya na vaidhari kalpate na tirthipada sevaya jivanapi mrityu ki sa. So Devotee is saying that anyone whose work is not meant to elevate him to religious life, and anyone whose religious ritualistic performance do not raise him to renunciation. So work should lead to religious life. Dharma, nayat, dharma, nayat, neha yat karma dharmaya. So anyone whose karma or activities, work does not elevate him to religious life, and anyone whose religious ritualistic performance does not lead him to renunciation. So na vaidhari kalpate. And anyone who is situated in renunciation does not lead him to the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have a renunciation. So work should lead to religion, religious activity should lead to renunciation, and renunciation should lead to service to the Tirthapada Sevaya, service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If this does not happen, one must consider himself dead although he is breathing. Jivanapi Mrityupi Sa. So very powerful statement. Devotee is explaining, is lamenting and asking Kadamuni. So she is saying, she is asking Kadamuni to give her a benediction or give her a son who would liberate her. So, and we know from another verse, 128 Dhamma, Swamishita Pursam, Vishwak Santa Hasuvi, Naupadhyayati, Shram Evahi, Kevanam. So, if our occupational activities we perform, if it does not lead us to the Naupadhyayati, provocation to the message, to hearing the affinity for hearing the message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Shrama Evahi Kevanam, it's useless labor. So, we are wasting our time. So, how can that happen? Srila Prabhupada again is mentioned in the purport. One does not have to give up his occupation as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, or whatever. So, we don't have to change our ashramas, whatever we are, whatever ashrama. Of course, we don't see many Kshatriyas there, we don't see many Brahmanas, most of them are Vaishyas and Sudras. But whatever position we are, by discharging this prescribed duty, one can develop Krishna consciousness simply by associating with devotees who are representative of Krishna and who can teach this science. So Srila Prabhupada is giving in the purport what is the issue and how we can deal with it. Simply what we have to do, who we are associated with the devotees. Mahatseva, Mahatseva Dharam, Ahu Vimukta Rishabhya Smichi is mentioned. That one can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to the Mahatmas who are advanced spiritual personalities. So it's very easy to just perfect our life just by associating with the devotees. And then Srila Prabhupada in the purport explains, material advancement may be very pleasing to an ordinary man. So it is very pleasing to an ordinary man because he is trying to dream, he gets some benefits out of his work, out of his activities, and he thinks he is advancing, he is becoming happy. But ultimately he is defeated because he identifies himself with the material body and considers everything related to it to be his property. Now, this is interesting because anyone who does not have, who does not even theoretically understand that he is not the body, there is something like spirit soul, and most of the people, when you speak to them about you are not the body, you are spirit soul, and there is a what nonsense. I am this body. I am such. When you eat, who gets the satisfaction? I get the satisfaction. So they don't understand the difference between their body and themselves. For them, they become defeated. Srila Prabhupada is using the word so nicely, saying that ultimately they become defeated because he identifies himself with the material body and considers everything in relation to it to be his property. Because what will happen eventually when you are young, when you are in your teens, 20s, 30s, you don't even think about the body and bodily problems. But when you reach 40s, you see one by one around you start to disappear. Your parents, your relatives, your uncles, aunts, they try, they one by one, you had some family relationships, sometimes friends as well. So they try, they just disappear, they die. Then you realize, in 40s you start to realize that what is going on here. And what happens, another thing which happens at 40 is, in your 40s, the body starts to break down. Your legs, your back, your eyes, all those things start to break down, which until then you have never thought about it. You never had to think that. And when somebody tells you, the senior tells you, or a person who is older than you tells you he's going through a back problem, you say, oh, that's very bad. But you really don't understand what it is until you get it. And then you understand, yeah, it is a misery. It is a torture. So when you get these things, you understand that ultimately you have been defeated. Because you are so much dependent on this body, you never thought this body can ever break down. And then when it starts to break down, you realize that I was serving this body for my entire life, 30, 40 years, so faithfully. And I was so much dependent on this body. What to speak about the extensions of this body. But I was so much dependent on this body. This body is giving me torture. This body is giving me mental problems. This body is giving me physical problems, which it's not worth. Why was I serving someone who is going to be unfaithful? When you know somebody is a cheater, will you have any kind of relationship? Will you do any favors to him? No. You will stay away from him. So in your 40s, you start to realize this. When the person, especially if you have got, again, if person does not really has got any knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, it's very difficult for him to understand that he is not this body, first of all. So it is very important that we have, at least as devotees, we can see the mirror through the sastras. Then we try to realize that, no, it's no point serving this body. What to speak of serving this body? We might think for our family, for our children, for our grandparents, we'll do this, we'll help them out, we'll make their life comfortable. You cannot even make your own life comfortable. How can you make someone else's life comfortable? They have got their own problems, they will have to deal with it. And we see, especially here, the kings, like there were two dynasties. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we know two dynasties were mentioned. One is the Surya dynasty and the Chandra dynasty. Means that there are kings. If we go through, especially from the third canto, it starts. The first two cantos are just putting in the preface of what's going on between Parikshit Maharaj, Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, and Sukadeva Goswami. But from third canto, we hear the dynasty start. Swayambhu Manu, Nairindev, Devi, Kadam Muni, and then there are different kings appearing. Third, fourth, fifth, up to ninth canto, we hear the Solar dynasty. And then in ninth canto, Sukadeva Goswami explains the Chandra dynasty. And we hear Lord Ram, Lord Sri Ram in ninth canto. And from tenth canto, Chandra dynasty begins, and ninth canto, in between, Chandra dynasty begins, and Sukadeva Goswami explains about Lord Krishna. And then in the 11th and 12th canto, basically, the 11th canto, Yadu dynasty is disappearing. The whole pastime is after Yadu dynasty disappears, and Uddhava, Krishna gives instruction to Uddhava, Uddhava Gita is explained. And then comes 12th canto, where it's a prediction. Sukadeva Goswami is predicting what is going to come for Parikshit Maharaj in future. And we hear all these kings list one after another, we hear this. And all these kings, we hear the first thing which until now had not happened. Most of the kings are being killed or assassinated by their ministers or their servants whom they put their faith in. So when I was reading, going through this, the list of kings who will appear, and it is mentioned, the first king, I think it was Puranjana, something like that his name was. And he was then killed by his own minister, and his minister put his son as a king. And then there is different, and then there is a Nanda dynasty. When Maharaj Nanda, he was Chanakya Pandit, made him to fall down, and then Maurya dynasty came in. And then there were Sudras. So, Sudra dynasties and all this dynasties become degraded one after another. So, these kings are explained, they were very powerful kings, it is explained. Like some of them ruled for 100 years, 300, their generations ruled for 300 years, 450 years. But where are all these people right now? They were so powerful, they used to rule the whole earth. And then it is mentioned how the kings and the dynasties also broke down, and each of the kings were managing their own affairs, because as Sri Aurobindo is mentioning, they were only interested in their own welfare and their own property, and then they created enmity. So the whole country broke down into many countries, the entire earth was broken down into different countries, and everyone was managing those things. So the question which comes is, where are these kings? Where are all these powerful kings gone? We don't, when I was going through the list, half of them we have never heard of them. Or most of them we have never heard. When we go through, and another thing I was finding on the internet about Srimad Bhagavatam family tree. If you search on it, you will get, there is a diagram which has been mentioned of different kings who came from whom, starting from Swami Brahma, from Lord Brahma, and the rishis, and from their generations, so genealogical chart. So in that, when you go through this, half of them you have never heard of them, and they are very powerful personalities. And when you go into one of them, and you can see their histories in different Puranas. But we have never heard of them. So what happens at the time of that? After that, what will happen? Most of the people, after they die, they will not be even remembered whether he ever existed or not. Really speaking, only your family, few people would know, but most of the people will not be in the list. Nobody will remember them, whether they ever existed or not. Some of them people might be remembered. If they are great, powerful people, they will enter into the books of history. There will be the students, every year the students will curse them. That because they have to learn their whole life history, like Hitler and Alexander the Great, Akbar the Great, they came into the history books. But they have been cursed by all the students, it's Agyata Asukriti. Everyone keep cursing them for being in the history books, and they have to know and memorize those, right? It's not pleasant, history is not a pleasing subject. So people, you need to curse them for being so powerful. So, and there are devotees, pure devotees, like Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So these are the devotees whom we take shelter, and the people can take shelter of. And for generations, as Srila Prabhupada has mentioned, the only thing we can do is take shelter of devotees. And when one takes shelter of the devotees, that is the only way one can get out of the clutches of material maya, material world. So, why is everyone engaged? Because again, as it is mentioned in Rishabhdev's teaching, so everyone is just engaged in the attracted. The attraction between the male and female is the basic principle of material life, material existence. And so I am mine, and because of that, janasamuha I am. Aham, mameti. So everyone is just engaged in I and mind. So we have turned this I and mind, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions in Nectar of Devotion, we have turned this I and mind into I am yours and you are mine, Krishna. So, Tadiya and Mamatva. Tadiya is I am yours, Mamatva is you are mine. And this is the formula which our spiritual master teaches us by the practice of sadhana bhakti, we can come to this stage. And so finally, Srila Prabhupada mentions this, that by one's karma one gets a particular body. And we know from again Kapila Muni's instruction to Devahuti, Karmana Deva Nitrana Jantur Devo Padaya. And by one's karma and by Deva Nitrana, by the body, ordained by the material energy, one is forced to enter into the womb of mother, Srila Prabhupada mentioned. And if he does not utilize his body to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all these activities are frustrated. And so if one does not work to satisfy the Lord, whatever we do, one day our body will fail us. And we will suffer. What is that verse in Bhagavatam? Deha Patra Palakradishu, Atma Sanyasya, Asat Swarupam. So one can become dependent on Deha Patra, body, children, wife, relatives, but they are not the soldiers, they are fallible soldiers. So they will fail us one day. So as Srila Prabhupada is quoting this, the real purpose of life is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13. Atha Umbe, Vijasyashta, Varnashama, Vibhagasham, Sanushtitashya, Dharmashya, Samsidhe, Hari, Toshu. It really doesn't matter what activities a man engages in. If he simply satisfies the Supreme Lord, his life is successful. And so all our activities, all our duties should be to satisfy the Supreme Personality of God. So okay, I'll stop here. Any questions, comments, corrections? Please. We'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Sarasvati Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.